Either. You're listening to Eaters.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكان الله عليما حليما صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah, just to continue from the last session, we touched upon the very beautiful attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-sabur, which means the one who is the most patient, the one who is the most patient. Scholars have mentioned that if an individual can inculcate this quality inside him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of sukoon, contentment, peace for that individual in this life and also in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him sukoon, contentment, peace in the house that he lives in and also outside. Now sabr means forbearance, to tolerate. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, takhallafu bi akhlaqillah. Instill inside you the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instill inside you the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hilm, as-sabur, patience. And so this is what we really need to work upon. This is something which is very, very important. So as-sabur means forbearance, and forbearance means that despite the difficulty, the pain, the anguish a person is going through, subhanallah, he still has the energy to maintain endurance. He can endure that difficulty that is there. That is what we call sabr. That is what we call forbearance. Subhanallah, if you don't have sabr, then life becomes very, very difficult. You are married, and husband and wife have a little argument, and you don't have sabr, a husband will give talaq. Finished. Now, how many partners will you lose in this dunya? You are working for somebody, and your boss tells you something, and there's an argument, and there's no sabr, and you say, forget it, you know, I'll find another job. What is the use? So what kind of a life would that be? That a person does not exercise sabr in his life, and a bit of pushing and shoving, and he's doing tawaf of the Kaaba, and somebody jabbed him, and then he says, I'll jab him back. Subhanallah. And somebody swears at you and you swear back at him. And so sabr is a great ni'mah which gives a person sukoon. We will look into that. This is first level, forbearance. The highest level, the ulama have mentioned, is when a person has the power to harm and to retaliate. That he has the power to harm and retaliate. Despite the power that he has, he takes it at another level and he forgives and he pardons him. He forgives and he pardons him. This is called as-sabur, the meaning of this beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In English, you know, we might say forbear and sabr, to be patient, to persevere. All of these sort of translations may have some connection to as-sabur. Now have a look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sabur for us to really understand. And the reason why I've taken many sessions for this, because this is such an important function. This is such an important quality that if somebody can work on this quality, he becomes the best of the best. He will become the best father. He will become the best husband. He will become the best son. He will become the best brother. He will become the best friend, best neighbor, the best musalli. He will become the best of the best if he has this quality inside him. Now imagine, ulama have mentioned that there is one person who the shaitan pushes him and he has made an intention to commit a sin. He has made an intention to commit a sin. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah knows everything, He is Alim, He knows your intention. At that very precise moment, when this man has an intention, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to punish him, Allah could have done so. Right or wrong? Koi mushkil kaam tha? Now shaitan pushes him furthermore. The intention that he had in the mind, he is engaged in that sin and he is doing that guna. And now he has completed and he is out from that act of sin. So he has done that sin. Again, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, Allah could have seized his eyesight. On the spot, you did guna, I'll make you blind. On the spot you did guna, I'll drive this blood clot inside you and you'll get a brain hemorrhage. Or you are driving and a heart attack can come. Allah can take away your ability to hear. Allah could have twisted your hands. Allah could have twisted your body. You could have had an accident, a fatal accident. The guna you did, that is between you and Allah, because Allah knows you did the guna. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, as-sabur, forbearance, this quality that is inside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing happens. Nothing happens to this individual. Nothing at all. In fact, with sincerity, if he will do tawbah, Allah will also forgive him. If Allah gives him the tawfiq, Allah will forgive him. Now imagine, that person who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody swears at you, will you allow him hospitality in your house? Generally, it would be very difficult. But you're a man who is accusing me, putting allegations on me, swearing at me. Why should I invite you? So there is this person who is disobeying, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the doors of his house for him. So he can walk in the masjid anytime. The masjid is the house of Allah. This man is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah Pak has opened the doors for him. Ajeeb, Allahu Akbar. Not only has Allah opened the doors of this disobedient servant, but if he so wants, Allah can say, if he wants, he can come and sit in the front saf. Not in Umar's place, eh? Because this place is reserved. Am I right, Mushtaq? Yeah, Mushtaq ne bhi kaha hai. This place is reserved for Umar. And so when I speak, Umar is there and Umar is there, you know, we have this connection. So you can sit next to Umar here and there, there's not a problem. You can sit on the front saf. Allah gives him that opportunity. Subhanallah ilazim. We wouldn't do that. Allah is giving him that opportunity. After his namaz, there is beautiful food that is prepared on his table. Not one, but 10 varieties. This is there, this is there, this is your drinks. You can. And this man does not even realize, it does not even occur to him, ke maine Allah ki nafarmani ki. You know, I have disobeyed Allah, a major sin, but yet I went for asr. Nobody knows of my sin. I went, performed salah in the front saf. I went home and Allah has given me rizq in abundance. Rizq in? That is a sabur. That is who? A sabur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Yesterday, we went to the hospital to see a friend of ours. May Allah give him shifa. So, I was there and Hafiz Khalid Mandala was also there. So, we were talking and he related this very ajeeb story to me, mashallah. So, he said to me, Maulana Sahab, you know, when they went to Jamaat, there was this brother who went with him and he passed away at a young age. Allah also give that person Jannah. But then, there was this Arab brother. There was this Arab brother that is talking to him about his real life incident that occurred with him. So he is speaking to Hafiz Khalid Sahab. He said that I saw in my dream that somebody is telling me I should take so and so person for Umrah. I should take so and so person for. So that Arab brother knows him. That Arab brother knows him. So when he saw this in the dream, he thought it's just a dream, you know, what can happen. And he said, the next day I saw the dream again, that I should take that brother for Umrah. He says, Ajib. And then the third time he saw the dream, and the fourth time he saw this dream. So he went to some of the scholars and says, you know what, this is from Allah. And you know, I think you should take that brother and pay for his trip and take him for Umrah. You know, who knows, this is from Allah. A dream is a dream. So he went to that brother, he says, brother, you know, I've seen you in my dreams. And so he started laughing. He says, my brother, I don't even pray 5 times a day salah. Not even in my dreams have I thought about going to Makkah and Medina. And I'm a very weak Muslim, very weak individual. My iman is very kamzor. I have no intention to accompany you in Umrah. So he says, no, please, for the pleasure of Allah, please. And so he agreed. Khairi agreed. He says, okay, you know, for a few days I'll come. So this brother, Arab brother, takes this man for Umrah and both of them go for Umrah. He has no idea what is the purpose, wisdom in taking this man for Umrah. So khair, they do the Umrah rituals and, you know, you've got your ihram on, you go to Makkah, Mukarrama. And mashallah, you know, he's done his Umrah, he did dua and everything. And this man says that now he is in front of the Kaaba in Mataf, and this man passes away. This man who I took, passes away. It's called maut aa gayi. But you know, it should be of no surprise, there are hundreds and hundreds of people who die in the Haram. It is only that that news does not reach us. The reason why some of the news comes to us now is through all these video recordings that individuals will quickly do and it comes. Otherwise, it's a very closed network in that area. Whatever happens, you won't know nothing about it. But a lot of people pass away. And so he passed away. So this man says, Ya Allah, you know what's happened? He's shocked. Anyway, he passed away and everything was done. He informed the family members back in England. So when he returned back home, so he went to the family members. He says, you know, this man, I saw a dream. And what is about this young man that he passed away? And what a death Allah gave him, you know. Subhanallah, in front of the Kaaba to pass away making dua. So the family says, we really don't know. But then we just know of him one habit. What did he have? One habit. Is that whenever he went out shopping, he did shopping for his family and also for a widow who was disabled and she could not shop for herself. So he would also now and then buy a few items for her, bread, milk, the necessity, and provide it for that old lady and give it to her. That is what he did regularly. So he would regularly go to that lady, Amma, you know, take this. And this lady would always give this man dua, the power of dua, my respected brothers. The power of dua. This man who was a no-man, nobody knew him, no identity. Nobody knew him, the imam did not know him, musallis did not know him. He hardly went to the masjid. Maybe Jumu'ah only bas. That lady would always give him dua and she would say, Beta, I make dua that Allah give you the best of the best khatima. The best of the best khatima. Khatima means death. And Allah accepted the dua of that lady. Allah accepted the dua of this. How Allah arranges for that man to take this man to go 7 hours to Haram Sharif, and he does Umrah, and he may have done Tawbah and whatever, and then death comes to him. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my respected brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person a chance. So even when he is sinful, he still has an opportunity to come. That is why recently, this old man in Madina Munawwara, he said to his wife that I saw in a dream that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me that I want you to come and visit me and I am waiting for you. I want you to come and visit me and I am waiting for you. And he said this to the wife. So he said to the wife that I really don't know what it means, but I can go and visit Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam in Medina. And where the rosa is. So he went. And subhanallah, his death came in the rosa mubarak of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where the green carpet is, that is where he passed away. Subhanallah. What a connection people have with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi is saying, come to me and I'm looking forward to meeting you. And he passed away there. Subhanallah al-Azim. This is the shahadat of his own wife saying this. That this is what my husband said and this is how the death came. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us so much chance. He is a sabur. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, he did not even commit a sin. It was human error, human lapse. You know, an oversight we would describe that occurred. And Allah himself says, وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. Adam alayhi salam had no intention to disobey Allah Pak. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away two things from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away from him his clothes of Jannah. His clothes of Jannah. And Allah took away his location, venue. From Jannah he had to come to this dunya. From Jannah he had to come. And look at for the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We take our clothes out to do guna, and when a person is doing zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the guna that he does, allows him to put back his clothes on. Allows him to put back his clothes on. Allows him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows him to return back to his residence. Otherwise, Allah punished Banu Israel. For decades they were wandering in the desert. They would cover miles and miles in the desert in the night when they would go to sleep. Again, they would end up where they started from. They would end up where this was a punishment. They would travel, they would sleep, come back there. Travel, the earth would push them back. Travel, they would push back. The punishment, the saza Allah gave them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. That is why this quality of sabr is so important. You'll find some people that even if you touch them, they'll scream. What is it? You touch them, they will scream as if you've shot them, you know, like a bullet hitting them. So we have to be very, very careful in this dunya. Very, very careful. Allahu Akbar. And we have to learn and grow out of this system. And we should not be selfish. We should all have sabr, because a bit of takleef comes to everybody. A bit of takleef will come to everybody. Subhanallah. Now, how do we master this inside us? How do we work with this forbearance? How will forbearance come inside us? Subhanallah. And that is why sometimes it's very, very important for a person to take a decision with a lot of time. That is why you will find Allah gave Nabuwwah to a Nabi at the age of 40. Not when he was young, no. Because at 40 he is very mature, wisdom, doors open up. The youth days have gone out. He is 40 now. Now it's... At 40 if you don't have aqal, then aqal will never come. At 40 you don't have aqal, then you will never have aqal. Subhanallah al-Azim. There is this beautiful formula that the Quran has explained to us. If we make amal, then mashallah we will also be amongst those who have a sabur, and they are people who have sabr inside them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. Idfa' billati hiya ahsan. Subhanallah. The Quran is so beautiful that just in a few words, everything is explained. Hazrat Maulana Adam Sahab had invited all the ulama to his majlis on a Sunday. Allah give him a long life. That we should do qadr of great luminaries and great people that alhamdulillah we have. So the ulama were there, and 20 or 25 minutes of his talk, that's all he talks for. What is it? But the injection that is given in 20-25 minutes is very, very powerful. The dose that you receive in 20-25 minutes. That is why our ulama say that the most fortunate people are those who sit in the majalis of the ulama. Because the issues and the troubles that they were suffering from for 10 years, 15 years, they ran in every direction to find a cure. But subhanallah, one day sitting for a bayan in a majlis, subhanallah, that issue dissolved completely. Mufti Azizur Rahman, Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Deoband. What is he? Master, he was a great scholar. So in the morning he would teach kitab, wa allaysa lil insani illa ma sa'ah, one ayat of the Quran. Now Hazrat looked at the tafasir, but he could not understand the meaning of it. Wa allaysa lil insani illa ma sa'ah. And he was in Deoband. And in the morning he has to teach, and then if the students were to ask him, he has to give them an answer that will satisfy them. So he himself, to his own understanding, he had this level that, you know, I have to understand the mazameen. And he says, but this ayat I don't understand. Wa allaysa lil insani illa ma sa'a. This ayat. So now he is disturbed. So at night, he starts walking from the madrasa, Deoband outside, he's walking. So he starts walking 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers, 15 kilometers, 20 kilometers. And his intention now, he gets to Gango. Where does he get to? Gango. There in Gango, Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. He was there. So as he is walking, so Maulana, you know, in those days no street lights and nothing like that. No cars, like you can catch a taxi or something. So he met Maulana, and Maulana says, what brings you here in the night, Mufti Sahab? He says, Hazrat, you know, tomorrow after Fajr, I have to teach. Look at the people, the craving they had. And there is this one ayat, I don't understand, Hazrat, I need you to solve this for me. Some Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali started to laugh. He says, oh ho, Mufti Sahab, come in. He says, what are you doing? He goes, main to abhi tahajjud ke liye wuzu kar raha hoon. Kya kar raha hoon? Mufti Hazrat was doing wuzu for tahajjud. So Mufti Sahab says, I also do wuzu. So he goes, no, let me do wuzu first. So Maulana Gangohi is saying to him, whilst I'm doing wuzu, tell me what you don't understand. So he explained, he goes, Hazrat, this ayat, wa allaysa lil insani illa ma sa'ah. This ayat I don't understand. Whilst Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi is doing wuzu, is explaining to him the meaning that he wanted. And by washing the feet, his Mufti Sahib is saying to him, Hazrat, bas alhamdulillah, now I understand. Now imagine the ilm of Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi. Look at the ulum of Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi. Whilst doing wuzu, is telling Mufti Sahib that this is the answer you're looking for. He goes, bas Hazrat, now I understand. So he goes, what are you going to do now? He goes, well, I'll walk it back because I have to teach after Fajr. Bachoko, talib. So sometimes when you sit in the majalis of the ulama, the shak that you have, Allah takes it out. The weak iman that you have, Allah makes it strong. The problems that you are suffering from, you will not find that in any chemist. You will not find that with any consultant. But the Quran and Hadith will give you shifa. The Quran and Hadith will give you shifa. Allahu Akbar. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us this very powerful formula. If somebody does something bad to you, in simple translation, if somebody does something bad to you, okay, what do we do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, idfa' billati hiya ahsan, reciprocate and return that evil action with good action. So if somebody has done something bad to you, you do good to him. What do you do? Good to him. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. And you will see that animosity, that grudge that is there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn that into solid love, pure love, hameen, boiling love. So if somebody does something bad to you, you do something good to him, and you will see Allah will also change his heart. So when we start doing this, insha'Allah ta'ala, you will see, we should not be selfish. It should not be that everything should be about me, myself and I, bas. No. It should be about also doing a bit of mujahada, a bit of sacrifice, a bit of khidmat. And by that Allah gives a person a lot. Now look at the life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to conclude. This is the quality of Allah, that He is as-sabur. And the same as-sabur quality is fixed inside Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the ummah should have. The people of Taif, all of them, ganged around Huzur alayhi salam and they pelted him with stones. What were they doing? It was blood everywhere. The entire body was filled with blood. To such an extent that you hardly find that Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam would come down from the heavens. But out of love for Huzur alayhi salam, when they did this to him, Jibreel came down. That is why he said to his wife, Bibi Aisha, Aisha, the most painful day in my 63 years was the time of Taif. In my 63 years, the most painful day was the time of Taif. And he's saying, and he's speaking to his wife, Hazrat Aisha. Then Jibreel alayhi salam came and we saw Huzur alayhi salam like this. He was so angry and he says, O Nabi of Allah, you give me permission and I will flatten these two mountains upon this community of Taif, the Thaqifa people that were living there. Banu Thaqif, they were there. I will flatten them, they will be decimated. Khatam, unka khima ho jayega. O Nabi of Allah, give me permission, bas. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. Look at that quality. Forbearance. He says, no. No, Jibreel, no. Maybe they don't understand me right now, but later on generations will understand me. Choro. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam departed. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. His daughter Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was married to Abu al-As. Abu al-As was pressured to divorce Zainab. So during the time of Hijrat, he said to the wife that, look, if you want to stay here, you can. I will make sure no harm comes to you. He couldn't do much in protecting the wife. So he said to Zainab, Zainab, do you choose to go back to your father? And Zainab said, yes, let me go back to my father in Medina. So he prepared one camel and said, okay, Zainab, sit on this camel. Very quickly news broke out in Makkah that the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to Medina Munawwara. And again all of them came. A man whose name was Habban. Habban shot an arrow in the direction of the camel. As it struck the camel jolted in different direction. And Hazrat Zainab could not take control. She was also expecting. And she fell and she received severe injuries. And in fact, these injuries were the reason for her to pass away. For her death to come. She passed away because of that injury she received. She fell from the camel. This man, Habban, who is, we would say, the killer of the daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How would we retaliate? When Makkah Mukarrama is conquered, Habban comes to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, O Nabi of Allah, I am Habban and I confess it is because of me your daughter passed away. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam remembers Zainab and looks at Habban. And he says that I come to you to ask for forgiveness, that you pardon me and forgive me, and that I want to accept Shahada. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I forgive you first and I have pardoned you. And he became a Muslim. And he became a Muslim. Look at the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Safwan gave an arrow which was poisoned. And he gave it to Umar. And he said to Umar, you go to Medina. And he was a man who could shoot the arrow with precision. And he says, you know, when you shoot the arrow, shoot towards the heart. Shoot towards the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it's, the arrow is poisoned. So he will, aliyazu billah, Allah's Nabi will pass away from this dunya. So Umar takes this arrow. And he goes to Medina Munawwara and people are there. And obviously, you know, he's an ajnabi, a stranger to this city. So he is looking in every direction, who is where. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in were alert and, you know, they found him to be a very suspicious individual. And they apprehended him and they got him and they said, hang on, you know, what are you here? What brings you to Medina Munawwara? What is the work that you come here for? So a lot of the Arabs, they didn't know how to lie. The Arabs, they didn't know how to, and they were very straightforward people. And this was their bravery. They wouldn't lie. So he said that, you know, this is why I have come. So they took him to Huzur alayhi salam, that this man Umair comes with an arrow, which is poisoned with the intention to hurt you, O Nabi of Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and said, is this true? Is this your intention? So he said, yes. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the companions. He says, well, Allah has already protected me. As for you, Umair, you are free to go. Go back to Medina. Go back to Makkah. Go back to... And he is looking back that, is this the truth, what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling me, or is somebody going to ambush me? So he went to Makkah Mukarrama. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah, he came again because of the akhlaq and because of the sabr of Huzur alayhi salam and the akhlaq of Rasulullah. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, I want to become a Muslim. Allah's Nabi extended the hands, he became a Muslim. And look at this man, he says, I also want you to forgive my friend, Safwan, the one who gave me that poisoned arrow. And he is out of Makkah. So Allah's Nabi said, go and tell him, I will also pardon him. I will also pardon him. So he's saying, no, Safwan is a very sensitive man. O Nabi of Allah, can you give me something of an assurance? You know, some kind of an assurance to show him that you have forgiven him. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was wearing an amama, and he took it out, and he said, this is the amama of this Nabi, go and take it to him and tell him that I have forgiven him. This is the Nabi. Allah's Nabi, Umar took this amama of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Safwan. Safwan came, and he said to Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, you have forgiven me. Allah's Nabi said, yes. He says, but I'm not going to become a Muslim. What did he say? But I'm not going to become a... Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I forgave you unconditionally. Where did you hear me say that I forgive you if you become a Muslim? Did you hear me say that? Maaf. Go, you are free. You choose. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ It's up to you, bhai. If you want to be a man of Iman, you can. If you don't, that's up to you. Kufr, if you want to take kufr with you, it's up to you. Within 1 week, he also comes and he embraces Islam. Allah's Nabi forgives Wahshi, the one who murdered his uncle. Allah's Nabi forgives the Jewish lady who put zahar and poison in the meat. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives the son of Abu Jahl Ikrimah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives Abu Sufyan, his arch enemy. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives Hinda. And it continues. This is all about as-sabur. That today we don't have sabr inside us. But look at the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the heart of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so my respected brothers, subhanallah, forbearance to tolerate. What is it? To tolerate. Subhanallah. There was this man who came to Hazrat Umar and said, Hazrat, I want to divorce my wife. So Hazrat said, okay, why? You know what he said? What did he say? Hazrat, because I don't love her anymore. Because I don't love her anymore. So bhai, you don't love her anymore, so you divorce her? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said, love is for the pleasure of Allah. What is it? Love is for the pleasure of Allah. Sometimes you may not love someone, but do something to please Allah. Do something to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do it for Allah. That is something very big. In the hadith, but we conclude. In the hadith, what a beautiful hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, a man forgoes his rights and he does not want to argue and debate. So he says, okay, but forget it, you are right, forget it. And he knows that if he puts pressure and if he was to put up an argument, he would easily win the battle because he is right, he is in the truth. But to forego his own rights and not to argue and to avoid fights and to avoid arguments, to avoid fighting and to avoid arguments, he's doing sabr and he forgoes everything, his haq, and he stays quiet. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam says, that man is so beloved to me, on the day of Qiyamah, I will hold his hand, take him to Jannah, and show him his palace in the most elite section of Jannah. In the most elite section of Jannah. Imagine. Today, you know, we like to debate, we like to argue. And people can argue for hours and hours and hours and hours. Allahu Akbar. One text message, second text message. The argument. Allahu Akbar. And so, brothers, we all need to learn. We all need to learn. Every single one of us here. Inshallah ta'ala, if we can exercise this very important concept inside us, slowly, you will see that we will become perfect individuals. And this will help us all the time in the lifetime. It will help us all the time in the lifetime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, just for a few minutes, if you can close your eyes and do muraqabah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا الله یہ مجمع بیٹھا ہوا ہے یا اللہ ہر ایک کی تو مغفرت فرما دے اللہ یہ وہ مجمع ہے یا اللہ جو دن کو کام کر کے تھکے ہوئے یہاں آتے ہیں یا اللہ بیٹھتے ہیں یا اللہ یہ نوجوان لوگ ہیں محض تیری محبت کی وجہ سے یا اللہ یہاں بیٹھے ہوئے تیری رضا کے لیے یہاں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں یا اللہ تجھے خوش کرنے کے لیے بیٹھے ہیں یا اللہ یا اللہ ہر ایک کی تو مغفرت فرما دے اللہ ہر ایک کی مغفرت فرما دے اللہ ہم سب کو مستجاب الدعوات میں سے بنا دے اللہ کریم پریشانیوں کو تو ہم سے دور فرما اللہ ہمیں تو تندرستی دے اللہ ہم سب کا خاتمہ بالخیر فرما ہماری اولاد ہماری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بن جائے اللہ کریم تو ہمیں ابرار بنا متقی بنا نیک بنا صالح بنا وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.